All right. So this morning, I wanted to look, or afternoon now, I wanted to look at Psalm 20. It's a very short psalm. And so I just got a few comments to make, and then just a, kind of a thread I want to chase for a few minutes. So Psalm 20 is a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thine offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. So there is... On first blush, when I've read through this, I was given some pause on the pronouns of who exactly is doing the talking, who are we talking about. And so I'm going to give you my best understanding, and I will put a grain of salt on this, so I could be wrong. But this is how I'm understanding this. This, starting in verse 1, the Lord hear thee. The thee is someone that David here is basically asking for like a blessing to be put upon. He's praying for someone. That goes down to verse 4, this concept of the person, the thee. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Help thee from the, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy, that same person, thee and thy offerings, and accept thy burnt offerings, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. Okay, so you've got this person who is in trouble, and David is praying for them. You're in a day of trouble, and we want to ask that the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob himself would defend you. To send help all the way from his holy sanctuary in heaven, strengthening out of Zion, that God would remember all of his offerings and burnt sacrifice. So the person that he's praying for is someone who's trying to serve the Lord and, you know, faithfully perform the offerings that were commanded in the Old Testament law. Selah, pause and think about it. And then the request is grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Now, what initially gave me pause is, it's kind of weird knowing how the scripture describes our hearts as being deceitful and desperately wicked, for this prayer to be grant thee according to thine own heart. And so that's the thread I want to flesh out in a few minutes. But that was what initially made me think maybe this is talking about someone else. Maybe it's the Lord's heart. But I think it's still that same individual who's in trouble. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Fulfill all thy counsel. Desires in this moment of need and trouble. Verse 5 pulls back and adds in a we pronoun of David and whoever else is with him. It says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, the salvation of this individual, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And so he is preemptively saying, we're praying the Lord will deliver you. We're going to rejoice when he does. And we're going to rejoice in his name. We'll set up our banners. You know, banners are the flags that you unfurl to say who you identify with. Who's your liege lord? Who do you work for? Our banners are the name of the Lord. We'll set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And so that's the request there. The Lord, that he's making the Lord fulfill the request or petitions of the person who's in trouble. Verse 6, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. So again, this is the guy who was doing the praying on behalf of this man in trouble or woman in trouble. Now know I, so this is, you know, David speaking here, or the psalmist, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Anointed, in one sense, I could be referring to kings. The kings, Saul and David, were both anointed by Samuel when they were going to be made king over Israel, especially those chosen out and appointed to his service. The priests were anointed when they were put apart for his service. It's also what Christ means, the anointed of God, the Messiah. Okay. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. So this is referring to those who are rising up against the Lord's anointed, against his children. They're brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. So David is, you know, here a king asking that the real king of all kings would hear his request and petition. Hear when we call. Okay. So that's kind of the big picture of where we're at. But I want to go back to verse 4 and chase that rabbit a little bit about granting thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. So we know from verse 3 that this is, you know, someone in trouble who has been, you know, making offerings to the Lord, made burnt sacrifices. They're probably shorthand for describing someone who is righteous. Okay. Grant thee according to thine own heart. If we jump over to James chapter 4, verse 1, James writes, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members, your body? Ye lust or desire forbidden things. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Okay. And then verse 3 says, ye ask, which you're praying, you're asking for things, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So part of this idea of grant thee according to thine own heart to fulfill that counsel is talking about the prayers you're making to God. Some of them are not going to be answered because what you're asking for is not right. You're asking for things so that you can consume it upon the lust of your flesh. Okay? And so you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And so we want to be asking for the right things. Last week we talked about Psalm 37 and Psalm 37 verse 4. Said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, what are the desires of your heart? Delighting in the Lord, the things of the Lord, his will. So if you are delighting in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's not saying you go desire that nice Corvette and then you'll get it. He's not a genie. Desire the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of his heart. See this again over in John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything, here's a key clause, according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he will hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Okay. What's the key in all that asking? You've got to be asking according to his will. Okay. And when you say, well, that's kind of hard. What's his will? I mean, that's a real specific situation in my life. I've got to do something. What's his will here? Well, the clearest example that I can give you for guidance comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God. Okay? Even your sanctification. It goes on to give some more details about that. They should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. And it continues on giving more descriptions of what it means to be sanctified. But this is your key clause. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification is a great $3 preacher word. It means to be holy. To be set apart. And so for your purposes and mine, you won't be perfectly holy in this world because you are still in a world that's fallen from in sin. You've got a body that will ever be corrupted by sin, and you'll have to battle against it. But the will of God is for each of us to become more and more holy each day. So this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So when you're praying for things, will it make you more holy? Will you be engaging in things that are holy? The Lord says, I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So those are the ways that we can start discerning in our real world practical applications of which way do I go? Is this result more or less holy, more or less like God? Okay, if you go over Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, or beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, thank God, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we're no longer offering our animals as sacrifices under the old law. Remember all thy offerings, except thy burnt sacrifice, the law. Instead, our offerings to the Lord now is our own self. Your bodies are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's not unwarranted. It's completely reasonable. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, conforming to follow the pattern. Do not follow the pattern of this world, worldly mindedness, wickedness, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so as you are renewing your mind, you're learning, you're testing, you're proving what is actually good, what is actually acceptable, and what is actually perfect or complete within the will of God. Now, what is going to make you more holy, and what is going to encourage other people to be more holy, as opposed to doing things that hinder that? Okay, what is a way that we can learn more about that? What is another way we can be sanctified? John chapter 17, verse 7, this is Jesus speaking. It says, sanctify them. This is Jesus praying to the Father. Sanctify them. It's referring to you and to me, his disciples all down through time. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So what is a way that you are sanctified and made more holy and learn what it is to follow the Lord's will? Is to be in his word, to be in the Bible, to be reading it cover to cover, not just a verse here and a verse there, pulled out of context where we can twist it around and have it flapping in the wind and not really know what's going on, but systematic learning about what has God revealed from himself and his word. That is sanctifying. And the Lord can use that and will use that through his truth. All right. We saw that back in Psalm 19, which we looked at a few weeks ago, which was describing the value of God's word. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. This is Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. So this is all describing the great value of God's word and the practical benefits that are conferred upon your life by putting it as a high priority in your life and valuing it and studying it and being sanctified by it. All right. So Psalm 20, Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. So this is a prayer you can pray for yourself. You can pray this for someone else who's discouraged. Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. And he does things for his own name's sake. Go see how Moses would talk to God. He wouldn't ask him to do things just for Moses' sake. He'd say, do it for your own name, for your glory. So the Lord will defend his own name. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Pause and think about it. Grant thee according to thine own heart that should be delighting in the Lord and delighting in his will. Those are the things that he's going to grant. Yeah, if you're asking and not receiving, you're asking amiss, right? And fulfill all thy counsel. And ultimately, in all those, if you're asking that the Lord's will would be done, then you would be humble enough and submissive enough to whatever his will being that you would be submitting to, instead of asking that your desires would be in place of it. Grant thee according to thine own heart, fulfill all thy counsel. We, those who are praying for you, will rejoice in thy salvation when the Lord delivers you from this trouble, and will rejoice in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. We're going to brag on our God and boldly declare he's the one who did this work. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions, all your requests. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. The Lord's going to save his people, his children. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. There's an expression throughout the Bible about God's right hand not being short. There's nothing too hard for him. If you've ever tried to reach something, you know, on the top shelf at Walmart where you really need a forklift, your arm just ain't long enough. The situation is beyond you without some kind of help. There's no situation where he cannot handle it, where it's too heavy or it's too far away. You know, with his saving strength of his right hand, that's what he delivers you with. Some folks trust in chariots, some in horses. These are the physical things that you can see, your military might, your money, whatever it is that you're putting your defense in. But as for us, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. That's a final petition and cry to the Lord to hear us when we call. We need you all the time. Just a few thoughts there on a relatively short psalm.